This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
In the spirit of championing free speech, the following program is conceived and presented by the host as independent content. It does not necessarily represent views endorsed by Free FM.
And welcome to Free Left Turn, our left-wing perspective, here on Free FM 89.0, independent community media, on a kind of an overcast, damp day. To my, I should say left, really. To my right, Fred.
Good morning.
And Mick.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, and Craig.
I think the word you're looking for is dank.
Dank, yes.
Melancholic.
Moist.
those sort of words we may have
grim, to
cruise away.
Yeah. Grey.
Yeah. Yes.
Inclement.
Inclement.
Inclement's a good word.
But it's reasonably mild.
Yeah, it is mild, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. Although I've got long johns on, six T-shirts and a jersey. Yeah,
and you still think it's mild.
but I feel a little bit overheated.
Oh, dear.
I came up with something funny this week, and it's called China's Military Extravaganza and Not a Mouse in the House. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. No, I'm not one for military parades, but I have to say that they pulled it off. It was polished and sharp.
Yeah, and the mouse and not a mouse in the house is to do with a squeak.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, no.
It put Trump's military parade to shame.
Well, yeah. I think it put... Yeah, you know, you have to hand it, because they would have drilled and drilled and drilled. Forget me, I'm not a militarist, but they would have drilled and drilled, and you've got all those, you know, they didn't just have like America's parade with one tank going squeak, squeak, squeak all the way along. They had 100 tanks. They had, you name it. And, of course, what is the West? Instead of going, well, that was an impressive display of sharp, you know, well done to China on that. But what was it about? Oh, look, they've got more weapons than us. So they run back to their people in the West, including New Zealand. We need more weapons because look at China.
Yeah.
They forget the point. The point was actually commemorating and celebrating the victory over Japan and fascism. Hello? Fascism,
That's what they were saying.
So and we had John Key there and Helen Clark, who also got stick for even going.
Yeah.
Let's face it, China's part of the world. China's been involved in some stuff, but compared to America, whose weapons and military has killed more people in the world since the World War
II? Yeah, we all know that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would say it was impressive. And, of course, on social media and everywhere, everyone's been having fun over the comparison between the American soldier holding a drone in his hand, walking down the parade.
Making noises.
Squeak.
But, of course, the other thing that really rubbed salt in the wound was that you had Putin was there, Kim Jong-un. The triumph of evil, as the West like to think of them.
Yeah, but okay, let's face it, it was Russia and China. China lost 35 million, I think, in the war.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was against the Second World War. And Russia, of course, lost 20-something million. Two countries, the people, sacrificed in real blood.
There was some horrific stuff in China during the Second World War.
Oh, absolutely.
Or before 1939.
Manchuria.
And Nanking. Yeah.
Well, they started, and everyone said, oh, you know, but China, Japan, I think, occupied, started occupying China, never got to do the whole lot, but in 1931 or something.
Yeah, it was the Manchurian, Yeah, Manchuria, yeah.
And was that 1931, about then?
Yeah, that's when they got up there. It had a name for that place, but it wasn't called Manchuria. But
so what the Chinese behind all this, of course, is they were are still hurt, and we've seen it in the West. If you've actually had a look, we've seen it with D-Day. It's all about the West winning the Second World War.
Yeah, the rah-rah people.
Not much mention about Russia or China's sacrifice.
No. Yeah.
You know?
No.
And so that's what is sort of... So they did this parade to remind the world that, hey, they were the big participants.
They gave a lot.
And made a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
And hence, the Korea Peninsula, etc., you know, the Japanese invaded Korea, didn't they?
Yeah, they've been there since 1910.
Yeah, so a long time of occupation.
And yeah, brutal. It's a brutal one too,
So, and then they go, Trump goes, oh, they're all conniving against the West. Actually, they were participants in that fight, in that struggle.
It's rich coming for the fact that the West are conniving against the East.
So,
there's a popcorn kettle black.
Yeah, definitely.
But you must. The Chinese would be very happy with, you know, not one tank. When you've got, so obviously you have one tank, okay, the chance it'll go, that's quite good. Especially if the mechanics looked at it. But when you've got all those machines, all those planes in the air, all those soldiers, and did anyone drop out from fainting? Did anyone drop? You know, did one tank not start? Did you know, like
it was sharp.
Sharp to a pin, unless they didn't show it. But no one, you know, I'm sure if there was one tank broke down, we would have heard about it in the West.
Of course.
Or one soldier fainted, we would have heard about that in the West.
Yeah, because it would be an excuse of how shoddy their equipment
is. Yeah, shoddy their parade was.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I think Helen Clark and Key were happy to meet Xi. I think Clark made a comment about she didn't want to engage with Putin.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. But yeah.
But anyway, they were invited as their ex-leaders, etc. You know.
And China's a trading partner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. This is what still get, and I repeat this often. Sorry, but you know, China's our major trading partner, and yet we're buying attack helicopters, submarine killing attack helicopters from America to, I presume, attack Chinese submarines if they ever come this way.
Yeah, you know? I'm waiting for the Chinese response to that purchase, though. I haven't heard anything yet.
Well, they have put it out on said this is just paranoia and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
disappointing.
But, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I was
just to sneak onto that. And meanwhile, they're criticising Key and Clark for going to China to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Judith Collins goes off to Ukraine.
Yeah, well,
and inspects, you know, does her rah rah.
Well, that's okay.
That's okay
for her. Yeah.
Would have been
good if there was a bomb drop, but I don't know. No, we can't.
Be careful what you wish for.
I made this analogy that Collins was criticising Clark over something, but I made that comment then. Well, at least she's shown up at China's thing, and she also went with Mary Robertson to the
Gaza-Egyptian
border.
Yeah.
Be consistent. Yeah, but she's not.
Yeah.
She's a meaty-mouthed politician. Yeah.
So anyway.
Got no time for her. Yeah,
if I could even get out of bed and click my heels and stand in a straight like a Chinese soldier, I'd be impressed with myself.
Yeah, with this old sore back, yeah.
The other
one I saw actually the I think it was an abbreviated version of the speech by the Slovenian president Nastasa Mirza.
Yeah,
and in that one she endorsed Francesca Albanese's for the Nobel Peace Prize. But I think she was nominated initially by Claire Hannah and Colm Eastwood. I think they were Irish.
It's been put forward for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, but lots have too.
Yeah, she was nominated.
We can nominate someone if we want.
But
of course, we mustn't forget Netanyahu's nominating Trump.
You're right. Yeah, but she had been nominated by those two. I think they're Irish MPs.
Mm-hmm.
One's a CDLP and one's a Foyle MP. So
yeah.
And the last one that I had was in regard to the Sumud flotilla.
Oh, yep, yep.
Yeah, and the threat by Italian warvies if it's blocked.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to explain, the Sumud is a name for flotilla, of course.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's about, I think it means more than, like, be resolute and persistent, etc. So, that's happening as we speak. And there's quite a few boats, I believe, that they've managed to hobble together, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the purpose, the Israelis no doubt will do their, will stop it. That's what they do, you know. But, of course, it gathers lots of publicity.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, they will have it covered fairly well. And there's quite a lot of what I call famous people who are on them, etc.
Liam Cunningham, an Irish actor.
Oh, and there's...
Nelson Mandela's grandson.
Yeah, Greta Thunberg's back on it that. And the Israelis are saying they'll put Greta in jail for a long time if she comes again and all this, but, you know...
And this is all going to happen in international waters.
Yeah, of course, they don't let them get anywhere near.
Yeah, so that... So the flotilla started from Barcelona, and it stopped when it goes to Tunisia.
Yeah,
yeah.
It does a little bit of a tour, of course, because it's about publicity. It's about highlighting, and when I say publicity, it's about publicising the fact that there's a genocide going on on the Palestinian people. It's not a natural famine that the sort of portray or the starving cause. It's done by another people. Pushing their world because of the military might other people.
If the shoe was on the other foot and there was Israeli ships in international waters and some people decided to stop it.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
Screaming, no piracy and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And just on that, can I just go on to that? I've got to give a tick to Scotland. Scotland's been very proactive recently and is actually... called for the for Scotland not be involved of armaments to Israel, and also sent lots of money to Gaza, etc. Trying to get aid and etc. And so, you know, they realise that it's wrong. New Zealanders, I think, realise it's wrong. We've just been tied up by, the coalition government.
Yeah, New Zealand First.
Some of the Nats, but but anyway, so there's rallies today around the country, and there's, of course, we'll be in Hamilton. Anyone wants to come down, hopefully the rain might not be there, but if it is, we'll still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mick's got an umbrella, so that's at 1 o'clock. It's only an hour, folks, or you only have to spend half an hour if you want, but it's on the corner of Flynn Road and Wairere Drive in Hillcrest.
Mm.
And you'll see the flags were usually there just before one, and they might not be flying much today. There's no wind, but
it'll be a bit flaccid.
But the next week, there's a big one in Auckland City. There's going to be a march across the Harbour Bridge.
Mm. Have they managed to get that licence, have they?
It's been advertised and all that. So it's they're going to try and emulate what happened in Sydney.
Sydney, yeah.
And in Brisbane. Brisbane had a huge big across the river. So I hope people, if they can, make the effort and go up. I'm still trying to get there, so I'll figure it out. So I might not be there or here next time.
Take photos.
Yeah, yeah. Mick can be my representative again.
But is it a Saturday or a Sunday?
It's a Saturday.
It's the 13th.
So anyone, the idea, of course, is to show our government and our leadership and the people of Israel and, of course, to show the Palestinians that are left alive and if they can see it, etc., that this is not okay.
It's
never been okay, and it's not about October the 7th might be a catalyst, but actually this occupation, this apartheid system has been happening for 70 years.
We're closing fairly quickly into 2 years since the 7th of October.
Yep.
And I listened to an article on Double Down News by the, I think he was a former, was he the former head of UNRWA?
Okay.
I forget his name. And he was the one, he talked about these schools that had held refugees' children. This is all pre-2023.
Yeah.
And they said that they'd warned the Israelis numerous times that they had these people here in these schools, and lo and behold... they were bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, and he broke down when it happened. He broke down when he talked about it, still about 10 years later.
Yeah. Well,
I forget his name.
I know who, traumatic,
though.
He was, and he said, well, where was the condemnation from the West? That was the big one.
Yeah. Let's face it. Israel's doing now is over the
top.
But they've done it before.
So in small amounts,
but still, children have been killed, murdered.
The West harped on about the bodies in the ovens, the decapitated children, which was found to be not quite correct.
It wasn't correct.
Yeah, it wasn't.
The President of the United States and all the photos of beheaded children was terrible, terrible. And it turned out he didn't even see them.
Yeah,
because it wasn't true.
Yeah, he talked about that in comparison to that school being bombed.
And the non-condemnation
from the West.
There's another one. Katie Halper's just put one out on Double Down News, and she's a American Jewish journalist. And she got sacked for her position from, I think it was CNN, one of the big mainstream ones. But she's put out a very good one and talking about the similarities between Nazi Germany and what we call Zionist Israel. It's very well done. Very well put together.
And another one also connected with it was a gentleman, I think it came through the Solidarity Network Facebook page, a gentleman, I think he's torn up his Israeli citizenship after 51 years.
Yeah, and we must remember, there's not many, unfortunately, because there's been a lot of indoctrination, or what do you call it when you... What's another word for indoctrination?
Brainwashing
done by on the Israeli population for a long time.
Mm.
But as I say, there are good people in Israel who realise it's wrong.
Oh yeah, there are. So there's Holocaust of survivors of the war.
Yeah,
and all those sorts of people.
And they are the minority.
We know that because they're only a small minority. They're dying out. Yeah,
but those people. You imagine being a Jew living in Israel and seeing what's happening. And always been against the Israeli occupation and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You would just feel awful and embarrassed and ashamed. You know, I feel ashamed. I'm not Jewish or anything else.
I'm ashamed,
but I'm ashamed of the West's response, of New Zealand's response.
The complicity, the silence, and the stuff like that, and the ability that they still export arms to the Zionist state.
I think it's based on racism and supremacy.
We're still fighting
the Crusades. We're still in that mentality, you know?
Yeah. Christian fundamental nonsense.
But we do what we can, and so we'll just keep going. And to be fair, the Israelis know they're not. They've always played the victim card to a large extent. But they certainly, it's not much fun for being an Israeli tourist anymore around the world. And even in Greece and Cyprus and that, they were getting the free run, but there's been protests there about Israel's actions,
which is
getting very close to home, you know?
Yeah, the nether regions are feeling it. That being said, now, changing tact.
Well, Fred's got this thing about the pre-election...
Yes.
Oh, should we do council elections?
Yeah, council elections.
All right.
Yeah.
So, folks, council elections around the country, of course, we start on Tuesday the 9th of September. They run from 9th of September to Saturday the 11th of October, and they have to elect our mayor and councillors, and also a compulsory vote on, referendum on Māori wards.
Mm. Yes.
So they have to have that referendum. Yeah. So
As directed by the Fools down Wellington.
As directed by the
triumvirate.
The triumvirate. How do you pronounce it?
Or cruel circus.
Government. Yeah. Right wing.
Otherwise known as the Three Stooges,
which is a Facebook page. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's happening, and the voting papers aren't out yet. So if you're wondering where your voting papers are, they'll start coming out according to the PR from the council from about the 9th, from the 9th onwards, so you'll get your papers. So as soon as you get your papers, you can vote, or you can vote right up till the 11th of October. Vote
fairly soon.
Yeah, when you get your papers, you can vote.
Don't leave them on the table to get lost in amongst the
other nonsense. Yeah.
And if you're not registered and you say you haven't got one, you can still register all the way through to the 10th of October and put a special vote in.
Right.
At libraries and...
on polling day.
That was for the general
election.
So that's good.
Fools.
But just as a somber reminder, only 29.4% of the eligible population voted last council elections. But so a third of the people, and that's only, and that's of, we know of the of registered voters. There will still be another. There'll be even less if you count the people that aren't even registered.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's probably we only got a 20% of people voted.
Yeah, that's
it'll be that bad. It'll be that bad if you look at the total adult population that's eligible in this country.
Yeah.
So, but what I did find in there, and I heartily recommend it, is if you go onto the council website about the elections, it's actually there's a pre-election report, and it's done by the chief executive, and it's a substantial report, but it basically tells you just about anything you want to know about what council does, where they spend their money, what their projects are, what they've done, and makeup of populations, ethnicity, incomes, house ownership. It's like a census as well as a report. Excellent. Full marks to the council for doing it. And what my question is to all those candidates out there, and we'll be reminding them, is my first question is, councillors, if you're standing for council, have you read this report?
One of these, yeah.
Yeah. Have you read this report? Because, and if you haven't, get off your and read it before you start going on about waste and council does this and that. It should be a must read. And I think if you're on social media, I recommend it to our listeners. If you see, there's lots of advertising coming out from candidates, just put in whatever, even if it's neutral. Just say, "Have you read the pre-election report?"
Yeah, has this come out in any other medium?
Not that, well, I don't know, but I know of.
Because I got the impression you thought it was wasn't well advertised.
Well, it's on the council page.
They assume that people have got access to.
Yeah, and no, well, look at me. I'm reasonably learned. Not very well educated, but I'm interested.
You're
I only found it this morning when I was looking to see why I hadn't got my voting paper.
So perhaps I could have a bit more of a splash around at some of the libraries and have some old copies or some posters just to draw people's attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Your counts, your libraries, your community centres of various forms.
Yeah, because it's all very well, and this is...
Well, they assumed everyone's got access to a computer.
And you get all these people going, council, blah, 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 waste, blah, blah, blah. You hear that it's like a drone at prison.
Yeah,
But I say, I'd like to all those ones moaning about it and council, have you read the report? And if you've read the report, and seriously, then, okay, you want to go, well, what have they spent this on? But just going... bloody council, just for the sake of it.
Yeah, so...
Go back to Nandos, what you talked about.
About reducing rates, and he asked the question, I'll be very interested to know how that's done, you want that done.
So, 50% of our rates are spent on infrastructure of water, sewage and stormwater and transportation.
Yeah, that is going to be an interesting question that I'd like to propose to my... when we run the... meet the candidates. There'll be two sessions. One's on a Wednesday night and one's on a Friday during the day. Yeah. So I'll be able to go to that
one. And that's in the report. We spend our rates and everything else and all the budgets and all that. Excellent. Full marks to the CEO and his team who put that out.
The people that we need to target, those who say we'll lower rates, we'll cut rates.
Cut services.
Just cut services, cut waste, trim waste, But... In saying, making that all flowery language or throwaway lines that people say, read that. Have you read that?
Read the report. I'll repeat myself. We do, as a socialist, we want to be efficient. We want people to be efficient in governments and local government. Mm-hmm, mm. But local government, councils, you've got a central government down in Wellington that does the big stuff. But who do we rely on for our day-to-day stuff?
Your local
government. The roads, the toilet, the toilet, park, the kids playing sport, all that. That comes from local government.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that they don't do that good a job of reminding people. And I've always been a fan of even bigger government. Instead of people going, you go into the hospital and they say it's free, they should say, children under 10 is paid for by... New Zealand taxpayers. We take it for granted that people understand that. I don't think a lot of people do. And we've got
I don't. I think you're
right. And as we learn out, we have got lots more new New Zealanders, migrants to this country. We need to explain this is how it works. And this is why we need taxation. This is why we need you to be a good citizen.
Yeah.
you know. So you can't have a free library service if people won't pay, will try and dodge their rates or try and get out of things.
It makes it hard trying to appeal to the better nature.
It does, but people should
not
be reminded.
Not saying you should give up.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Almost, you know, this bed was brought to you by taxpayers.
Yeah.
Or this X-ray machine was brought to you by taxpayers.
But we the people who pay the taxes.
And everyone pays, everyone pays tax. We could argue some pay more than others, and percentage-wise, we know which group of people don't pay much tax.
Mm. Yeah, we know which group
people pay proportionally more tax.
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't be said that this was brought to you by your ratepayers, but it was also brought to you by
your citizens.
We the people.
And of course, don't forget, lots of things that the council does, they also get support from central government, which is Wellington, our bigger government. So there is a connectivity between the two.
Mm.
You know, we build a sewage plant, we will also get help from the state. You know, as well. So that all comes into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, recommend that report, pre-election report, and to interview people standing for. Read the report, and then if you still want to go on about cutting costs and waste and all that, fine. But narrow it up a bit.
Yeah, it should be compulsory. It should be actually compulsory reading for candidates.
Yeah.
To be frank.
Yeah.
Instead of their throwaway lines that they use in their profile description.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to. It's not started yet. You have to hand it to someone like Sarah Thompson, who caught out McIndoe, a good one, a few weeks back.
About voting,
and she said, "No, you didn't, because I've got your voting record here." Yeah, she'd done the work, done the homework.
That's what you do. Yeah, that's what you need to hear from the councils.
Not just about other politicians or whatever, but just okay. When you say you want to minimise waste, do you know how many people use the libraries? And what do we say? 750,000 people visit libraries in a year, and 1.5 million online.
Yeah.
And that might go down a bit because Hillcrest Library got caught up in the fire.
Yeah.
But that'll reset itself. So libraries have evolved, and that's what I mean. Things evolve from how they were traditionally.
Well, they're multitasking now.
Yeah. They don't provide books. They provide rooms.
Well, they become more like community houses.
Community centre with a different type of focus. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can. That's right. So you can pay your dog licence fees at the local library. Yeah. You can pay your rates. You can all that.
I just need to remind people this is under STV, isn't it?
The voting form, so it's just...
It is quite straightforward if you stop and think about it.
And you don't have to get all...
Number one for your preferred candidate and in decreasing order. And you don't even have to use all, I think it's 7 votes or 8 votes. You don't have to use all 7 votes. You can just vote one person and that's it.
Yeah, you can just stop when you... Yeah. Stop when you... When you
so it's
you
not
don't
as complicated as people have been led to believe.
Who's done the scaremongering about voting?
Some of the politicians who...
Because let's face it, there was a group of a club that would quite like that only people of property voted.
We know who they are too,
That happened in England, didn't it? Wasn't there...
Rotten Boroughs and things.
Who was the guy? Blackadder did a funny... For skit on Rotten Boroughs
during the Regency one.
Old Serum. That's a classic one. Nobody lived there.
Yeah.
Old Serum was, I think it's Salisbury, isn't it? Salisbury had been. They'd moved the town to Salisbury, and that's where everybody was. But Old Serum was a standalone place where nobody lived there. But people got voted in there.
Yeah.
Apparently. But you talk about property rights. So that's was how the old electoral rolls were set up. You had so and so here, and he had a block of land that was called such and such. That's
because property owners only 1 in 7 were entitled to vote.
Mm.
Yeah. Of course, women didn't have the vote.
No, this is pre 1893. So, but interesting. I'm a compulsory.
So, I hope people do participate in this and don't just leave the ballot papers getting soggy in the mailbox.
There's a raft of other problems with that.
All right. You have a go, Mick?
The flow is on.
I actually woke up. I had a good sleep, and I woke up. You know, I must have had too many cups of coffee.
Dear Diary.
So in France, they've got this major. It's called Blocs I don't know. Can you pronounce French?
I think it's block
toot.
Everything.
Block toot.
Yeah, block everything.
Block toot, which means block everything.
Yeah.
And they're having this campaign. So on September the 10th, they're asking everyone to not go to work, not shop, not do anything. Just go out and protest. And they're protesting about austerity for working people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the main, that they've got to balance their budget. The budget's suggested that they cancel two public holidays.
Yeah,
right. Which will go down like a wet balloon.
And also, they're still having a go at this pension scheme too.
Yeah. So it's a real austerity budget for some.
Yeah.
Not for all.
Well, this could bring down the Prime Minister.
Well, it could, because potentially the whole thing. So anyway, so that's going to happen in France.
And the French do know how to protest.
Well, that's right. They certainly do. So do the Koreans, actually. They know how to. They can do a good protest. Yeah. In the UK, Angela Rayner, Deputy Prime Minister.
Oh, that's right. She was a bit late in paying up her tax on her £800,000
new flat. Yeah, so she's had to. And what basically is, she moved house or whatever and bought a flat, and she had another house that she wanted to. She's got a disabled son, etc. Mm. And she was set up, there was a trust set up, etc. But anyway, she paid the wrong amount of stamp duty.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she got advice. Some advice saying, yeah, that's all you have to pay. But the disclaimer on the advice was, this is not expert advice. You really should go to that. And she didn't. So it breached the ministerial code. So she's fallen on a sword. My answer is, you know, and okay, I think she's reasonably genuine about it, but what do poor people do if they've got a disabled child?
Yeah.
You know, and they've got a house and a trust for the child and everything. They don't have that luxury.
No.
And all that.
So is she having to resign or...?
She's not resigning from her paid job. She's just no longer deputy in cabinet for a while.
She's in the corner.
She's in the corner, in
a dunce's hat.
Yeah,
looking at the corner.
So the changes are basically that she, because she was deputy, David Lammy.
Oh.
Foreign Secretary
is now the Deputy Prime Minister.
Oh, he's a friend of the Zionist state,
and he's another idiot too.
Yeah. So Yvette Cooper has gone to Foreign Secretary, which means the Foreign Secretary over there deals with things like the boat people and the illegal immigrants and all that.
That also comes under the Home Secretary as well.
Sorry, it is the Home Secretary. I got it wrong. Shabana Mahmood is going to be the Home Secretary, and that does the people.
That's evicting undesirables out of the country to a third place.
And Yvette Cooper is going to be the Foreign Secretary.
And she also covered that in her previous.
So it's a reshuffling of the deck chairs. But I actually quite like Angela Rayner. And you think, God, you're earning good money as a cabinet minister and everything else. But, you know, they just don't realise their privilege.
They can't help themselves.
Yeah. And it would happen. I'm sure
it happens over here.
Yeah. But so, you know.
Can Mick give us an explanation what stamp duty is? Because he's from that part of the world.
I'm just trying to remember. It's been a long time since.
Well, you buy a property and you have to pay a percentage.
It's a tax on the property.
Oh, so we don't have stamp duty.
But have it in Australia.
But we don't have it here.
But there's exempt. No, not anymore. We used to have it.
So it's a tax on buying a property.
And depending where you are, on your level of wealth, etc., how much you pay. She went for the little one. It was still some, but, you know, I think it was 40 grand.
Sterling.
You got smack over the hand, eh?
Yeah. And I say, the report was that she didn't do it deliberately, but she should have.
Should know better.
Should have gone and got better advice.
And should know better.
Which was advised to.
She took her
profile, too. You get caught out if you're up there. There'd be lots of people who get away with it, no doubt, but you know, she is the Deputy Prime Minister. People look for those sort of things,
Should have known better.
Yeah.
And given the fact that they spent so much time criticising the previous government for the exactly the same sort of shenanigans.
Yeah. She had no choice.
And what happened within a few days of taking freebies from all sorts of people?
It's
unbelievable. Just as bad as the other lot.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now, still sticking with the UK, the Greens have just had their elections, and Zach Polansky won the leadership by 84%. He got 84% of the vote. And I don't know if you know him, but he's quite charismatic. he sounds more like a socialist than he does a tree hugger. But like the old green environmentalist, which he is, but he goes down the sort of what I call working class sort of socialist routes, and he's very popular, and he's very what's it called, articulate.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's going to rattle because the Greens have had a co-leadership, which sort of works and it's very nice, but it's not as if you have one leader, they can come out and say something.
It's time for consensus, and it's time for consensus.
There's dangers for him. I hope he doesn't just get, watch his own name. He's actually standing for a party. If you believe in socialism, you don't believe, it's not about the main person, it's about the ideal. So I hope he doesn't get, in the limelight, you hope he doesn't lose it.
Corrupted.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Is there currently
by your own nasty, what do you call it when you get too much adulation?
Goes to your head.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know what that's called.
Swell head.
Yeah, swell head. Big head. Waha Nui. Waka Nui Tanga, Shane Jones, etc. But that's so anyway. But that's good because he's a mover shaker.
Yeah, is he a current MP?
No, he's not. So the two leaders were current MPs, but he doesn't really need to be. But what I'll be interested in, what I think people are watching, is the new Your Party, which is Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana.
Right. Yeah.
How is he going to fit in with that? Because they'll have to, let's face it, it's a first past the post system.
Yeah.
They're going to have to, in my opinion,
come to some sort of understanding.
They'll have to come to an understanding. So, this is the electorate.
You end up splitting the vote, and then the other lot will get through.
Yeah, and already the Labour's gone, you'll split the vote and you'll let the Tories come in. Well, Labour's sort of a Tory party anyway. So if they're already, in one way, they'll have to go, you've got a chance of winning this. So, it's not true democracy, but it's happened before. We saw it here with the ACT Party and Ebsen and all that. It's a way of getting someone in. But they'll have to use their noggins and decide what
they call it a dirty deal, but I don't know if it's...
It is, and it's not... You should vote who you want.
Yeah.
But if you...
But then if you're in an area where even if you voted for who you want and haven't got a chance of getting in...
Yeah.
It's tempting to come to some sort of arrangement with a like-minded party...
Yes. Two of you are trying to get it.
Yeah, okay, we'll let you take that one, provided you let us take that one.
And there'll have to be some talk on it. And
they're going to have to, otherwise they'll split the vote.
Yeah. I'd say the Tories have done it everywhere, so why can't the left do it rather than...
It seems to be a different colour painted on that one.
So I'm going to move to... what else is the one? I'm going to move to... New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And the first thing is Benjamin Doyle from the Green Party has resigned, I'm quite sad about it. And I suppose he's resigned because of the vitriol and the awfulness, which is sad. He's a different. He's different to what you call mainstream.
He's non-binary. It's a description.
Okay.
Different to
Why
non-s-
not? Why can't he be?
Different to non-binary.
But he's been given an awful hard time.
Must have been really bad.
Yeah, and he said, "No, this is just too tough, and it's hard on his child and stuff like that." So he said, "He'll keep doing what he can for society and all that." But he said he realises that Parliament's not the way.
And sadly, it happens all too often.
Especially for people
decent people put themselves forward, and they get lampooned, vitriolic.
And especially if you're different. If you're the minority or anything else,
you're not different at all. You're human.
Still human being.
You're still human. Yeah.
So thank him for his work, and he's hopefully he's okay. So the person that's coming up to replace him is on the list because he's a list candidate.
Right.
Mike Davidson from Christchurch is going to replace him.
Okay.
So
this has happened before. There's been other MPs.
The Greens have lost a few actually over all sorts of things.
Yeah. A couple of Labour MPs stepped down.
But at least we don't have to buy elections like Simon Bridges cost the country.
Just because of
a vanity project of his.
Mike Davidson is number 19 on their list.
Now, otherwise, I was going to ask you guys, the $5 million people that are allowed to flood New Zealand. $5 million
house. Oh, the BIVs.
Yeah.
Investor visas.
Yeah.
It's fast tracking people with money.
Yeah, the golden visa. They've golden visas. So, yeah, so gold plated shares, no doubt.
Yeah, Dunnies.
And, you know, and isn't it interesting? Winston Peters, who made his sort of standpoint, was on, oh, we've got to watch migration and all this.
Oh, yeah, he's back,
well, it makes common sense, really. You know, yeah, so he's flipped backwards on this one.
Yeah, money first.
Money talks.
Money talks.
And my interest, you know, they've got money, but my worry is what sort of people are they?
Unfortunately, they're going to be more the same who've just allowed them to come in.
Well, often people who, well, for not always, but what's their characters like?
Yeah,
well, exactly the same.
How much tax have
exactly,
they paid?
Exactly the same as the ones who said yes, you can come in.
How much tax have they paid in their other countries to make this wealth? Ouch. I know you're not allowed to talk about this sort of thing. What are their values?
What's
their arrogance levels?
Exactly the same.
Pretty high.
What's their privilege levels?
Exactly the same.
And will they throw? And this way, you're wealthy, and you know you can give $10 to the local cause for a sausage. They can give $1 million to something.
Yes.
And have a lot of influence over.
And then claim it against.
Probably claim it against your tax or whatever else.
So you're talking about the character of people coming in are exactly the same as the ones who said yes, you can come in.
Well, yeah, and that's what worries me is
money.
Okay,
it's money. Money.
What are they going to bring with them? What baggage are they bringing with them?
The same as already here.
They gave two examples of that on the article, and they put on the news. They showed Peter Thiel, sorry, and Shania Twain. Shania Twain, sorry.
Yeah.
And they're the bad examples, though.
They're using it as bolt holes and et cetera.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Makes me. Inequality.
And we just
encourage that.
Reinforces.
Will we be expected to? Oh, there comes a carriage. Let's bow down. Oh, doff my cap as they go past. this is where we're heading. Mm. These bloody fiefdoms. It's just No, I think it's not very popular with the masses. I don't think.
Oh, there's a surprise.
But the masses have got the memory of a deaf mute goldfish.
Oh, that's insulting to goldfish, isn't it?
So will they remember come election time?
But just
inviting rich people in to say that'll solve New Zealand's problems.
This just aggravates the whole thing about austerity and the demographics between the haves and the have-nots.
Of course it will.
It's going to make it even worse.
And then there'll be sycophants
that will be pushed out.
Yep.
To the outer fringes of cities or whatever.
So how's this going to help Māori, a Māori man and his family or anyone who's poor?
Unless they're extremely lucky.
And get a job on their garden.
If they come well educated and they do have advantages, but the vast majority won't have those advantages, just the same as some Europeans and other. If you don't have money, you're disadvantaged from day one.
Well, let's face it, the reporters ask them and say, well, how much tax are these people going to pay?
That's the question.
Are they going to contribute? Are they going to contribute fairly, or are they going to pay the 9% tax that all the other rich people pay?
Well, if it's a bolt hole,
you may have answered your own question.
Yeah. What's that word? Tax haven.
So,
it's more of the same.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Yeah, and then they buy.
And so the extremes between the have and have is going to get even worse.
They'll buy properties. They'll push other people to the margins.
And austerity ends up breeding division in society, and ends up with extreme politics. Not just on the left, but on the right.
Did we do the happiest countries in the world here?
Well,
leading on to that.
I don't quite see the connection, but.
Well, the connection is as we're. New Zealand goes down the toilet as far as inequality, happiest countries in the world, 2025?
Scandinavia.
Finland is number one again. Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Netherlands. What have they all got in common?
Socialist
ideals, in other words, and they're all Scandinavian, so they have relatively high taxes, but you have cradle to the grave care.
Socialist capitalism.
Yeah. So it's
Finland, Iceland.
Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Netherlands, Costa Rica, Norway.
And as we said before, they all complain about the amount of tax, but they also remember that they get looked after from cradle to grave.
They're not sweating about how they're going to be when they're old.
They've got free education, free health.
And that makes you happy. If you're not worried about where you're living next year...
You can afford to be happy.
You can be happy. Yeah. But interesting, Israel's beats New Zealand. And I just wondered, are they happy because of what they're doing to the Palestinians? And I'm being polite here. Is that what's making them happy?
Some might be happy about doing what they're doing.
Yeah, well, many by the sounds of the polls.
The complicit, yeah.
But anyway, New Zealand's behind them, number 12.
I reckon we're on a downward trend.
I think we are. We have been for a while.
Well, you can have
because if they're going to introduce, bring in more wealthy people in the country, and the effect it's going to have on the rest of us, it's just going to create.
Well, then they start closing the road for the wealthy person to have a party,
or private roads,
or gated.
I think we're going to go downwards, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Where is the US on that list? Did you find that one?
Oh, I didn't pay any attention to the US. I was still busy being shocked by Israel.
I think they're still in shock. I don't think they know what's hit them.
Yeah, but it goes back. Scandinavian countries have high tax, but they also have high public services.
And they win this every time. Every year they do this, and they win.
The only one that's not mentioned is Sweden, isn't it?
Sweden's in there. Sweden's number 5. 1, 2, yeah. Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Netherlands. The Dutch are up there.
Norway there?
Yeah, Norway's there.
Right.
So,
yeah. They've been consistently winning this every year they do this census.
Yeah. And I imagine if you looked in New Zealand in the 1970s, etc.
Oh, just looking
on the screen. New Zealand in the 1970s, when Muldoon was around, we'd have been up there because no one was worried about where they were going to live.
No.
Everyone had a job of the
health, education.
To do health, educated, unemployment was low. We all got a general rate. Our pay increases were dollar related, not percentages. So there wasn't that much difference between you and the doctor.
And it didn't really matter.
Didn't matter because you still had your jug of beer.
Because your quality of life was.
Yeah.
I like your sarcasm.
But anyway, and what else is in New Zealand? I think that's me.
Yeah. Let me go to the Mick.
On a slightly more sobering note, there's two articles I came across. One was in the Herald on Monday, and it says, life and death, more people are being declined than granted emergency housing in Auckland, reports Julia Gable. And it says, the first time since 2017, more people are being declined than granted emergency housing in Auckland. An Auckland-based youth homeless service said it's dramatically harder for younger people to access emergency housing after government introduced tighter restrictions. The number of granted applications for emergency housing nationally has plummeted. Grants have been declining steadily for several years, but this became more rapid after new rules were introduced in August 2024. Auckland-based agency Kickback helps young people access emergency housing co-founder Aaron Hendry said young people are now getting denied emergency housing when youths in similar circumstances had been accepted a week before the government's changes came into effect. And it adds on, we don't think New Zealand understands or our government understands that this is an actual crisis. We're talking about life and death. Mm-hmm. In some cases, we're talking about real significant trauma, abuse, sexual assault. Now, this leads on to another article, which I came across later on in the week, which was Thursday, where our Housing Minister Chris Bishop says, if people are genuine housing need, there are supports available. Yeah. So I think what's going on? We know that shortly after this government came about, they stomped on the figures on housing because they didn't want to know what everyone knew that they were going to go up.
Yeah.
So there's a real disconnect. And Housing Minister and local MP Chris Bishop's told RNZ, it's upsetting to hear of anyone who is sleeping in their car. We know homelessness is a complete complex problem New Zealand has been grappling with for decades, including in the hut. Bishop said he was committed to helping those sleeping rough, and the government would have more to say on this issue very soon. Don't hold your breath.
And just to be, I don't mean to be flippant, but the homeless, they don't even have a car. They probably love to have a car to sleep in.
Oh, you got a car? We used to dream of a car.
We
used to live in Holden Road. Holden Road, we used to dream of living on Holden Road. But it's just this disconnect. Yeah. It just doesn't add up.
But there is a bit more of an omission, of course, happening that they were skiting about the emergency housing down, and then they suddenly realised all we've really done is push them into the streets and into marginal areas.
They moved the problem somewhere else.
Yeah.
They haven't solved it at all. And Bishop to stand up and say that there are means or there are support for people in genuine is an outright
if you've got
lie. If it's not a lie, he's obfuscating or he's being deliberately disingenuous.
And how do you get that when you're either young or you're unconfident or you've language or you have all sorts of disabilities? How do you have the confidence to go in and ask for help? It's not easy. Okay, you would experience that in your workplace. There'd be people there that have aren't blessed with many skills at all.
They got complex lives.
Yeah.
And
so how do they do that to even start the ball rolling?
It's awkward.
I betcha.
My issue comes back to like criminality and addressing the root causes of criminality. Nobody's addressed or is really concerned about addressing the root causes of homelessness.
Mm. Well, it's been man-made.
Yeah, it's been So nobody's addressing it.
No, they're part of the problem.
Oh, we're addressing it because we're having $5 million people come up.
Oh, yeah, we know all that. Yeah,
of course.
The golden visas.
The largesse will extend to those people.
And those people, being good new citizens, they are going to build small little houses on their estates for the homeless in the areas to come and live in there.
Oh, right. Tenements.
That's the vision.
Run-down hovels.
Yeah, slum landlords.
Yeah. You know the biggest states of days gone by with the aristocracy.
How Bishop has got the gall to stand up and make a public statement like that.
Yeah, but it shows you that there is pressure on them now because they were so busy skiting about.
Yeah, because they artificially doctored the figures.
Of course they did. Well, they just pushed them out. They didn't care where they went.
Your Honourable MP for the West said that, I think it's in that article, he says that families should pick up the slack, sort of. I'm ad-libbing, paraphrase, and that families should take on these young people that find themselves in these sort of difficulties.
Yeah, but the family
is fine if you've got a functional family.
Yeah, and
if you're from a dysfunctional family, that is not going to work.
We met plenty of them
so
too.
So another throwaway line. Being called it. I mean, no one's believing from day one that they've solved the problem. They've just doctored the figures. They squashed them for a while. You couldn't get that information.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of dysfunctional families out there. And they say,
it's only going to exacerbate under the more stress they come under.
Why isn't that youth who's living on the street and not living at home with mum and dad?
Oh, what's the reason? There must be a reason why.
Oh, there's family violence, there's alcoholism.
Yeah, incest, whatever
else goes on.
Yeah, anything going on.
Yeah.
So this just doesn't add up.
Yeah. Mm. So those are the issues that need to be addressed.
My worst fears have been confirmed. The problem's not going away, it's just going skyrocketing.
So what I want to know is, like in the 70s, I'm harping on about a utopia.
Well, the golden days.
but how much is... Okay, they've done this and they've got more efficiency and they've had capitalism, rampant capitalism, and fortune's been made by the few and everything else. Mm. But how much has it cost the country when we've slipped back in society? How do you put a value to that? It's huge. Social disorder and all that.
But their reaction is just to build more...
Well, they don't pay for it, of course. They say, it's nothing to do for us because we live in our gated community and we have our beach house and our lake house.
Yeah.
And we go to France for 6 months of the year if we really want to.
We're number 12.
Yeah.
And they don't want to spend, we've said before, they don't want to spend the time or use the resources, all the money to try and fix this problem properly.
And wouldn't it have been far cheaper just to subsidise stuff and keep things going?
It's got to be cheaper than...
Then trying to get people from the bottom of the cliff.
Mm.
Is that fair comment?
Mm. Yeah. You know? There should be more investment.
Those people's impact on society because they're so desperate they end up committing crimes.
Absolutely.
Called social investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But prevention is far easier than the...
Bottom of the cure.
Well, it was a mantra, wasn't it? You know, prevention is better than the cure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Common sense.
I'm living in my flat and it's cold. You're far better to say we're asked to. And they sort of did with the heating allowance and all that. But if someone stays warm, the chances of them ending up in hospital where it costs so many $1,000 a day...
Is reduced.
So let's do whatever we can.
But they don't think along those lines.
No,
they don't. No, they're thinking golden visas. Yeah. Or that'll solve our problem.
And that's what's... I just can't believe with just... That's their solution. Oh, let's just get more people in, more rich people in, and that'll solve.
At the same time, they're not increasing infrastructure.
No, they're not. No. There's no talk about more sort of low cost social housing.
We're going to end up with slum areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, we already have, unfortunately.
Yeah
we do. But that'll just exasperate.
With slum landlords.
Well, and what rhymes with slum?
Bum.
with starts with S, ends in M.
What's gum?
Starts with what?
That's right.
Film.
Scrum.
Yeah, so, you know.
Bond life.
But, and that's the exploitation of people.
Yeah.
Serfdom. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Serfdom, not scum.
Yeah, you've already covered the green light for foreign home ownership.
This was that.
That was in Tuesday's Times. But he doesn't like to refer to them as immigrants.
What are they now? They're special people?
I think, they're special people. Yeah. Active Investor Plus Visa will be able to buy homes valued over $5 million.
They won't need to have sewer pipes or anything.
Again,
because nothing
about
smells that comes
these
out.
These investors will help grow the economy. Well, no, only for some.
Yeah, it's a bit like inviting.
They keep banging on about, oh, we have these people, it'll make the economy grow. Yes, but only in a certain sector.
Yes, it doesn't trickle down, you know.
And let's face it, the wealthier you are, you can move your money around.
All over the place.
Blink. So you choose, it's like you don't, you choose where you pay, if and when you pay tax and where you pay tax.
Or if at all.
If at all. That's exactly right, Mick. Absolutely right, you know.
The other one was, did you hear about the Amazon thing? Getting Amazon into New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, IKEA and that sort of stuff.
I think, are they going to pay their fair share of tax, or are they going to have a bit of a tax dodge?
Well, the bottom line is, they come in, and if they're employing people, they will pay tax, the little ones will pay tax through the pay as you earn.
But
the bigger picture with their profits. Will their profits be declared here, or I don't know the answer to this. Would they be declared offshore?
Amazon, is notorious for not paying its fair share.
But we are a tax haven.
Yeah, I know. So, unfortunately.
We don't have high taxes.
Unfortunately.
No death duties, no stamp duties, you know, all that sort of thing.
Which we should, to be frank.
Yeah. Well, as I say, the rush for people inquiring about the $5 million golden visa. applications.
Is it jumped?
Of course it will. Because the West is sort of disintegrating as the old system.
And part of those people will be trying to leave Trumpville.
Oh, of course it will. Trumpville, the UK.
Starmerville.
You know, Starmerville, bloody Franceville. You know?
Yeah.
Netanyahuville.
So we will get a lot of those sort of people. Well, what will they be like?
Will they be nice citizens, or will they be just greedy?
You answered your own question.
Well.
And I caught my eye was Wednesday's. How are we doing for time?
2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's just the act of call for New Zealand to exit the Paris deal.
Oh, the environmental deal.
Because some of the requirements are too stringent. Let me
guess. We're too small to make a difference.
That's the usual nonsense line.
Yeah, he's saying in a statement, Seymour reiterated his opposition to overdoing climate policy.
Oh, yeah, just ask the people at Tuvalu.
So basically, it's business as usual. We'll just carry on.
Putting shit in the rivers.
All that stuff. But I'm all right, because I've been living in the gated community.
Yeah, somewhere near the coast.
And look, our beach house doesn't have a sewage pipe there. It goes into the back box.
Monty Python.
Monty Python, he talked about, we were born in this and we had 1,000 people living in this house.
Well, he used to live in a box, and he's like, a cardboard box? Oh, he used to dream of a cardboard box.
Yeah, that one.
Exactly.
That was hilarious, yeah.
It's all perspective, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. That's us, Free Left Turn, and you'll find us on Free Left Turn and Podcast on Facebook and on www.freefm.org.nz. Thanks, and we're out of here.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.